Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we welcome you back just after 3 o'clock right here on The Fan on a Victory Monday. It is the Rooster in for Chad Dukes, who returns tomorrow at 2. Let's go to Bill Callahan at Redskins Park.
I kind of thought that, but I'd ask anyway.
That's all right.
One of the things I want to ask you about with Dwayne Haskins and starting to use his legs more and more, I'm curious where you feel like he's at with that evolution of his game. And he even felt like sometimes maybe he was a little bit too fast through some things. But I'm just curious about the legs and how he's been incorporating them.
This game was interesting relative to his base, his where he should be, where his feet should be aligned, and where his footwork should be aligned, you know, with the throw and also the progression. So as you progress through a throw, your feet and legs have to kind of follow that line of trajectory, which he did extremely well. That's where we see a huge, huge improvement in his game. So he worked his eyes and feet together. There were times, you know, where he did get some pressure and he showed the ability to move away and step up and make throws, you know, under duress, which was really positive, John. I think the other thing is, you know, there are a couple times where there was a third and five situation, I guess a nickel front where the defensive tackles were aligned very wide and he saw some green grass and felt he could take it and ran himself into a delayed TE game, you know. So I think that's a learning situation for him. And then there's one towards, you know, the 2 minute, I think towards the end of the game where he runs out of the pocket and he feels green grass and he makes a decisive run, gets his feet down, makes a slide, picks up the first down. So there's a little bit of a give and take in that world,
sure.
A little bit of a learning curve, and also making decisions out of the pocket become a little bit, you know, he's a little bit more aware of where he needs to be now than what he was 2 or 3 weeks ago, for that matter. So a lot of progress those guys have done. Kevin and Tim have done a really good job with his fundamentals and with his progression.
How do Darius and Adrian kind of complement each other as runners? I know you said the rotation is kind of a game-by-game feel thing, but just in terms of what they can present defenses, how, like, what are some of their strengths? Like, what do they do well together that gives you guys?
I think they're both consistent, durable, tough, powerful type runners, but also elusive. Elusive enough where they've got vision where they can make people miss and also capable of springing out the explosive run. So I think they both have those traits and they're both different in their own ways. So I would never want to compare them to each other. That wouldn't be fair. But they bring obviously a different dimension to our team.
But when you're forming a game plan every week, just what does that do to have two of those guys who are both pretty explosive and what can you do as
It's been good to see them both back on the field and see what we can do with them. And I think yesterday was evident that, you know, we could have a good change up with them. And also Chris Thompson had some 2 minute runs that we thought were pretty timely and chewed up some clock and put us in a position to finish off or try to put us in position to finish off that 2 minute drive at the end of the half. But yeah, having all three of those guys is good to see them all back there working together. They're smart guys, and you know, they all have, like I said, a different dimension to their game.
I want to double down on Darius, not compared to any of the other two, just specific to him, to see the impact he's made in such little amount of time with such little experience. Are there guys over the course of your career that you think of at the running back position who have been able to come in and have a really high level of execution? You see things like patience with him that you might not often see with young backs. Does he remind you of anybody that you've coached over time, and how rare is it to have that skill set?
Nothing comes to mind immediately, but what I do see is I see a player that's continuing to emerge. And, you know, last year when he was a rookie, you know, the run that he got hurt on in New England is the one run that comes to mind where it was an explosive run. It broke out versus their first-string defense, you know, in the preseason, no less. But we saw flashes of that early in the training camp last year, then in that preseason game against New England, then coming back into training camp this year, coming off an injury. And then, you know, you saw some of his explosiveness early on in the Philadelphia game in the first game of the year, and now we're seeing a little bit more of a consistent pattern of that. So I think we're still learning what he can do, not only as a running back, but as a receiver. He catches the ball fairly well. You know, I think we saw examples of the screen pass that he had against Detroit. And I think you can see his ability as a check down back, what he's capable of doing with the ball in his hand out on the perimeter or in the flat. So there's a lot of range to his game, a lot of ceiling to his game. I think we're just starting to untap it.
Coaches are always focused on one thing at a time, but when you see him performing like this, is there any part of you that sneaks off mentally and goes, man, if we had him the whole season, how different would this be?
Well, I never look back. You know, I've been mentally kind of conditioned to never really look back into the what ifs and kind of dealing in the realities. I'm a little bit more pragmatic that way. So I just know what we've got now and what we got to do to plan accordingly. But I think if you live in the past, you know, you kind of stay stuck back there. So I'm always looking forward and always trying to, you know, drive ahead and see what we can do with what we have currently that's on the roster and who's up and who's available.
Yeah. Bill, kind of sticking a little bit with the run game, can you specify some of the details that the line were able to improve on and give those guys better chances yesterday? Because it seemed like there were just more opportunities, more room to move than previous games.
I thought, by and large, the line played really good, and it was a function of being on the same page. I thought the management of the run game is another aspect of Dwayne's quarterbacking, putting the call in the right leverage or the right position, whether to leave it on or leave it off or change it or get to a pass. I think all those things came into play as well in terms of quarterbacking. And then the line itself, I mean, making the adjustments through the types of pressures that they presented or dog pressures that they presented on the early downs. I thought that the line handled that particularly well. All the different dogs that Keekly was bringing and Shaq Thompson was bringing. Then they tried to get Reed involved. They had a couple unseen looks that we didn't prepare for. You know, we just showed up that we had to adjust to and adapt to. So handling all those adjustments, I thought, like I said yesterday, Phil did a really good job. Randy did a good job. You know, Brian Angelico, well, I got to give those guys all the credit. They were handling all those adjustments on the sideline throughout the game.
We saw Nate Orchard had, when JP interviewed him on a show, it's some emotion about the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. As a coach, when you see that, knowing what he had, you know, had been out, and you go out there and have a game like that, do you take a moment to appreciate what a guy like that has done, and what does that mean for you to see a guy like that have a game like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. I felt great for him. I was happy for him, you know, and elated that he could have the type of success that he had in a game like that. Not only is, you know, rushing off the edge, but if you really looked closely at the second down and goal play down there in the last series, I mean, he made a huge play, you know, on the perimeter to come off and get 22. And then, you know, to make the play at the end of the game to cap it off. And throughout the game, he was really consistent, John. And then you take into consideration that he's played special teams as well. I mean, that took a lot out of him. And, of course, he played the whole second half practically and then played all the special teams. So, you know, it was great to see him have success. I'm really happy for him and hope that it continues.
Is there a party that says, how is this guy on the street? He's going out there making that kind of an impact. In the, you know what I mean?
Well, I think, you know, the rosters are different everywhere. Everybody's looking for something different, something unique. We're in the 3-4 system, you know, where there's not a lot of 3-4 teams out there. So it's a different type of player, you know, that you're looking for in terms of traits, abilities, whether he's an edge rusher, you know, whether you can drop him into coverage, pass rush. I think all those factors, you know, are evaluated when you're looking for a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Bill, yesterday you guys went down 14-0 pretty quickly to Carolina, and in the past we've seen the team get away from the running game when they've gone down like that. You all continue to stick with the running game, and it paid dividends. What did you see out there that made you comfortable sticking with it, or what made you feel like there were things you could expose later on in the game, even with that deficit?
Well, we've been down before, and we've been patient, and we've come back, and I think that when you're down 14, you can easily panic, and all of a sudden start shifting gears too quickly and too fast. I thought that Kevin did a great job just staying patient and trusting the running game. And we had pretty good success throwing it as well with Dwayne's progression. But I think just the ability to stay with the run early. We didn't have quite the success that we wanted to. You know, we didn't have a lot of runs. There was a lot of things we liked in the passing game that we wanted to feature. And, you know, sometimes you hit on it, sometimes you don't. You know, we were down the red zone that the first time. I think we had three consecutive passes. Two of them were run actions. One was a drop back on third down. But easily we could have run it down there as well. But we felt good about the plan, felt great about the plan and the calls. And there were opportunities. We just missed on a couple basic executions. But I just think the ability to stay with your running game and not give up on it and know that it's a long game. And, you know, we relied on the defense, and a lot of credit goes to those guys, you know, creating the three and outs and the four and outs that they had throughout the course of the game. I think it would be a different game if the game got away from us a little bit more. But the game was still in hand, and it was early on, so there was no reason to abandon, you know, anything, any run type thinking at that time.
I wanted to ask you about the end of the first half. It seemed like there was inconsistent urgency again. First, it seems like you guys are trying to just run out the clock, then all of a sudden you're in hurry up mode, and then maybe you have a little less time than you wanted to at the end. Winds up with a field goal getting blocked. Can you kind of walk us through the decision making of the end of the first half mm-hmm. and how you decided to and when you decided to really engage in a hurry up type of mode?
Yeah, well, we were right at midfield with three timeouts, so we still wanted to milk the clock. We were in that position that we would call eight ball, you know, where you have four minutes of the first half, the first 4 minutes of the second half. So in knowing that we had the deferment and the ball coming out in the second half, we really felt strong that if we can, you know, chew down the clock, you know, and leave with points on the board, you know, that was the objective. That was the goal. So in simple terms, we ran it to begin with, and then we put ourselves in a position where we utilized the timeouts. We were in good position. I think the sack was the play that really hurt us, that burned that last timeout. So the next call on the third down was we try to shoot the ball, or I think it was second down rather, we try to shoot the ball down the field, knowing that if being out of timeouts, that if we had to, we still had enough time to get into a clock it mode, stop the clock, you know, and kick the field goal.
Is there kind of a magic amount of time where you are less concerned about the clock versus the number of plays you have left? Like, what are some of the factors that you're considering there?
Yeah, I think you always want the plays, you know, and you're always trying to manage the clock with it. So, yeah, most definitely you're always trying to get more plays with the clocks. But we had the timeouts. I thought we managed it really well. I thought we put ourselves in good position, you know, but when an untimely sack comes up, you know, and you have to burn your last timeout, it kind of takes you out of the thinking, you know, the optimal thinking of, you know, being in position, you know, to either throw the ball in the end zone or kick the field goal with good field goal range and position.
Bill, do you feel like some of the things that you tried to institute in the first weeks that you took over are maybe paying off now? Are you seeing results from some of that?
I believe that. And the challenge for our team was taking our practice execution, making it game day reality. There are a lot of instances of that taken from the practice field that you could mirror to the game film, our practice film with the game film. So, yes, to answer your question, and more so at the quarterback position, you can see him progressing. You can see his little bit more calmness in the pocket as the game started to move on. And against a challenging front, we knew that going into the game, this was the second-rated sack team in the league. They were consistent getting pressure on the quarterbacks. They've made plays, they've made sacks and pressures and hits. And to have Dwayne's calmness and really just his poise in a couple of critical situations, I thought really paid off for us. So doing that in the noise on the field every day, putting them in a pressure situation, I think paid for us as we went through those steps during the game.
All right, so that is Redskins interim head coach Bill Callahan meeting with reporters. We'll take a quick timeout. Thoughts, reaction to that? I think he again continues to say Dwayne Haskins is making significant progress. I think we can all see that. It might not show up in the box score. It might not show up in the red zone. It might not show up again in the pure statistics. But Dwayne Haskins, clearly, the light bulb is getting brighter and brighter. Will he ever get to the top floor? I don't know. But it's getting slowly better and better each and every week. And that is never a bad thing, win or lose, for the Washington Redskins on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I like the depth of Callahan's answers. A lot of people in the media do not like Bill Callahan's answers. I have no idea why. To me, I like the depth of his answers. He gives you a couple of good nuggets, you know, a good perspective of a wise veteran, seasoned head coach that has seen pretty much everything on the collegiate level, on the NFL level, in the AFC, in the NFC, good teams, bad teams. I don't know why it's such a bad thing that the dude has an identity and builds his game plans and practices and work ethic around that. Right? I mean, Jay Gruden's identity was just throw the ball all over the yard. And when it was working, it was great. When you had Jordan Reed, when you had DeSean Jackson, when you had Pierre Garçon, when you had a good quarterback like Kirk Cousins, when you had Trent Williams at left tackle, you could fling the ball all over the yard, throw 40 times a game, and have you like that and 350-plus yard performances in primetime at Philadelphia to win the division in 2015. Great games like the Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football at FedEx. Week 3, 2017 against the Oakland Raiders when the Raiders were expected to contend for a championship. When you had all that, it was great. It was working. It clicked. It made sense to throw the football more. Now, they always should have run it more, but it made sense to throw the football more. When you have a quarterback that is still developing, and you heard all of the good things that Bill Callahan just said, how much progress Dwayne Haskins has made with his footwork and his mechanics, and it allowed him to see like a wide nine technique that the Carolina Panthers were doing. It allowed him and the offensive line to handle all those dog blitzes that he mentioned Kuechly and Shaq Thompson were bringing. I mean, he used, obviously, some football terminology, some X's and O's that some people, maybe not all people, are familiar with, okay? But what he's trying to get at is, hey, look, this is a building situation. This is not a polished situation. This is not a done situation. This is a building situation. So when we can run the football like we did yesterday, and with his mechanics and the amount of work that he's doing and getting finally, now that he's taking it seriously, now that they're taking him seriously, now that he's the unquestioned starter, you can see the progress even if you can't see it by the box score. Even if you can't see it by the raw numbers, you can see the progress, and that's more important to me than any box score, any numbers, any percentages, or whatever. This is the thing that I kept screaming about with Dwayne Haskins and why he shouldn't have been playing when he wasn't. Because what you cannot measure, what statistics, analytics, and box scores cannot measure is all of the areas of improvement that Dwayne Haskins is making. Now, is he making every one of them? Is every one of them fixed? Absolutely not. He still breaks down too early for my liking. He still scrambles around a little bit. He took off early on a couple of pressures yesterday when he was trying to kind of make something or he saw something breaking down. That's going to happen to every quarterback. And it's going to happen likely to rookie quarterbacks more than your five-year veterans. But he made no mistakes or no obvious mistakes in terms of interceptions or fumbles, right? He got sacked entirely too much. Some of that's on him. Some of that's on Adrian Peterson. Some of that's on the offensive line. Some of that is on not having enough weapons. Some of that is just football. It's a good defense. But that's why they have to run the ball. That's why they have to shove it down people's throats. That's how they're going to win football games. That's how they're going to build Dwayne Haskins to a point where he's going to... Think about it from this respect. Everybody loves the Baltimore Ravens, right? Does anybody really, 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 really think... Does anybody really think that if Lamar Jackson is shut down or controlled on the ground, let's just say 40 yards rushing, right? And Mark Ingram doesn't have a monster game, and that's the reason why. Say like Mark Ingram is what he was yesterday, 15 of 59, right? So say the Ravens only rush for 100 yards per game, which we know they are much, much better than that and much normally way higher than that. Does anybody think Lamar Jackson is going to beat you as a passer 30 to 35 times a game? I understand he threw the football 23 times yesterday. I got it. And he was efficient, 14 of 23. That's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's almost, 63, 64% ratio. He had 105 yards. Now it was raining. They didn't necessarily need it. But let's not act like Lamar Jackson is a great passer. He was efficient last Monday night in Los Angeles, just carving them up on short passes and short crossing routes that the Ravens receivers, who are a pretty good bunch, were constantly getting open on. They were constantly running free on. Let's not act like Lamar Jackson is some great passing quarterback, because he's not. And when you're not a great passing quarterback, which Dwayne Haskins is really far away from being. He's really far away from being Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers in his prime, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, you name it, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. You know, he's really far away from that. You damn well better be able to run the football. If you don't run the football, if you are not committed to the run, if you don't have the ability to run, you have zero chance. And when every dummy in the world was screaming, "Oh, the run game is why they can't score a touchdown," during a 16-quarterless streak, that was the only chance they had on offense. The reason why they didn't score a touchdown is because their passing offense, due to injury and due to instability at quarterback, whether it was Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, or Dwayne Haskins. And Dwayne Haskins, even though he's playing better mechanically, is still unstable at quarterback because he's still barely completing 50% of his passes. Maybe he's just over 50%. But when you have that, you cannot win football games at this level with that. You cannot. You damn well better. And what I mean by, of course, you can win an occasional game, but you damn well better have a running game to balance you out. to help you along. And I'll give you another perfect example real quickly. Yesterday, right? And it's not like you need to do what the Redskins did. You can run for 100, 115, 120 yards and be just fine. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, 15 of 29. This dude was like the MVP last year. 15 of 29 on a windy, cold day in Kansas City. $175, a touchdown, and no picks. And they won 40-9. They didn't even run the ball great. They only ran for a total of 96 yards. But Mahomes had a touchdown run. They got an interception return. They got a bunch of field goals. McCoy had a touchdown run. Thompson had a touchdown run. And then they had a defensive two-point conversion return. So they won as a team. You have to have that. And you have to have that running game in order to have a chance consistently in this league, because no quarterback outside of the upper level elite, and even them are going to struggle, or even they are going to struggle from time to time and have bad days at the office. And if you can't run, if you don't know how to run, if your identity, your DNA is not to run, you are screwed. 3:30 on the Fan. Earl Forsey here with the latest sports flash. Craig Hoffman joins us in just a little bit. Am I too much in on the run game? Am I just reacting to what happened yesterday? Or would you like to see the identity of this team, the DNA of this team, to be run heavy as it appears that the coach wants it to be? 800-636-1067 on the Fan. All right, Craig Hoffman will join us in just a couple of minutes after Bill Callahan's Redskins press conference on this Victory Monday right here on the Fan. Up, Chris Russell in for Dukes until 6. Red carpet special coming up from the Anthem, Nats documentary on the World Series. Grant and Danny will host that. Mike Rizzo, the Learners, Ryan Zimmerman all expected to be there. I'm sure they'll have some guests. Make sure you stay tuned 6 to 7 tonight. Monday Night Football later on. Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. So we got you covered. Santana Moss joins us just after 4, and right back to your calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's get to Brandon in Manassas on the Fan. Brandon, how are you?
Good, how are you, Andrew?
All right, Brandon, what's going on?
Hey, man, yeah, so I think that you're wrong in the fact that it's a matter of this season is absolutely nothing.
What is going on with the phones today, guys? We're like every call is like completely choppy. Go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand you.
No, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now it's better. Now it's better.
Okay. So I just think you're wrong because we're 3-9. This football team stinks. Mm-hmm. And running the football really doesn't matter. The only future we have is in Dwayne Haskins. The only way you mask a bad organization like the Redskins, and they're terrible, is if you had an elite-level quarterback like a la Indianapolis with Peyton Manning. So the more you run the ball, the less you throw the ball with Dwayne Haskins, and the less he gets to develop, in my opinion. And plus, on top of
your phone just went again. I got the sentiment and your point, and I appreciate it, even though we disagree. So here's my thought process, right? I understand that the highest level elite quarterbacks are generally the ones that contend for and win a championship. Got it. Is it fair to point out that when Tom Brady, and look at this year, the Patriots don't run the football, Tom Brady's struggling. Now, some of that has to do with obviously no Gronkowski. They signed Antonio Brown, that wackadoo, and he was off the team in 9 days. I understand it's not just the running game. Aaron Rodgers, when he has struggled at times in his career, and he has struggled, it's because he doesn't have a running game. I'm telling you, when the Green Bay Packers run the ball with Aaron Jones, as you'll see this Sunday, if they run it, especially on tosses and wide outside zone, they'll carve the Redskins up. They'll carve the Redskins up. If Aaron Rodgers sits back there and throws 45 times, Aaron Rodgers is good enough that he might just do it on his own. But he's so much better when they have a complementary running game. Look at the playoff game that they played here a couple of years ago. He stunk in the first half. Couldn't run the ball. Then all of a sudden they come out. They're committed to Eddie Lacy. And who was the other jabroni that was in the backfield? I forget. And they just run the ball all over the Redskins and run it down their throat, break their will. You show me a great quarterback that has done it consistently without a running game. I mean, there just are none that I can think of. I mean, you want to do Peyton Manning in Indianapolis? No. They had Edgerrin James. Oh, and great receivers and a great offensive line. And even when Edgerrin James wasn't there, they had a competent backfield. Yeah, guys like Dominic Rhodes and all those guys. They weren't studs. Again, you look at Tom Brady. He's done it over the course of his career with Antoine Smith and Corey Dillon and Sony Michel recently. And, God, there's been so many guys. But you get my point. Right? But if you don't have a great quarterback, if you don't have an elite quarterback, you have to run. Even when you do, you still have to run. You just have to do it less. And for everybody to say, well, we can't get Dwayne Haskins to be an elite-level quarterback or a great quarterback unless we have him throw 35, 40, 45 times a game. No, that's exactly the wrong way to go about it. That's basically throwing him to the wolves. That's like saying that Dwayne Haskins is a big old T-bone steak throwing him into a cage with a tiger. He's going to get eaten alive. He's not going to be good. He's going to get injured. He's going to get hit. He's not going to have confidence. He's not going to have rhythm. He's not going to have a chance. He's not going to have anything if you ask him to be what he's not clearly capable of being right now. He could barely get past 50% accuracy throwing 25 times a game. You want him to throw 35 or 40? What good does that get us? None, in my opinion. All right, more of your calls coming up. Hang tight. It's going to be a little bit, so just, you know, if you can't hang, I understand. But we're going to have Craig Hoffman on his reaction to not only yesterday's win, but also Bill Callahan's press conference. We'll check with him if he's got any injury updates, and then as well Santana Moss just after 4 o'clock here on The Fan. Also, I'll have the answer to this. Who was the highest graded player, Redskins player, according to Pro Football Focus in yesterday's win? You might be surprised by the answer. Let's talk to Craig Hoffman, who is out at Redskins Park. He's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. You heard him peppering Bill Callahan with some questions. Craig, let's start. Were you, I guess, satisfied with specifically the management at the end of the first half, or his answer and explanation after he said what he said to your questioning?
I'm not satisfied with it. I just disagree philosophically with how he approached it. I don't think it's an indefensible position. And I think a lot of coaches would probably go with what Bill said. But to me, I would rather have hurried up at the beginning of the 2 minute. I mean, the biggest criticism I saw from a lot of people I actually disagree with, which would have been to take the timeout north of the 2 minute warning and save time there. I like having all three timeouts, especially with a rookie quarterback. But I would have gone into a hurry-up mode faster in order to try to get down into the red zone with my entire playbook and all my timeouts available. In other words, can you get down inside the 20, have your run plays available then, instead of trying to burn clock on the front end because you're concerned you might score with too much time on the clock? For a team that has trouble scoring, I'll take the points, please. So I just disagree with that philosophically, but I don't think it's an indefensible position. At least it was thought out, and I guess that's kind of my answer to that question.
Craig Hoffman with us. Make sure you follow him at Craig Hoffman. TheFanDC.com is where he has all sorts of coverage as well. From a what Bill Callahan said about Dwayne Haskins, I think we can all see the improvement. I think we can all see where the light bulb is getting brighter. He's clearly not there. Do you have, at this point, a bigger issue with his Let me see if I can put this in a nice, neat package. With his lack of accuracy or touch seemingly being high on a number of passes, or his blitz identification, his sense of where the pass rush is coming from and maybe breaking down or leaving or getting out of there a little bit too early?
Yeah, I think him leaving clean pockets is probably my biggest pet peeve of the moment with him. There's been a lot, so many growth in so many areas, and I want to start with that because I think starting with some negative on Dwayne is not appropriate considering how he played. Like, his numbers aren't great, but the fact that he didn't turn it over, the fact that he's continued to grow, the fact that he's making, generally speaking, smart decisions, even if they're not best possible outcome decisions, is really good and impressive to see from the Giants game until now, considering he didn't play a lot of the games between the Giants game and now. With that said, leaving clean pockets is my current, like, biggest thing that if I'm Kevin O'Connell and Tim Ratay, I'm getting on the board this week and getting on the tape this week and being like, all right, last week we told you do this, that was the biggest thing and you did a good job, and now this is our new thing. If there's not anybody coming to try to tackle you, stay put, because they definitely miss some big plays where if you just fix it out a little longer, some receivers come open. I think the accuracy is a comfort thing. The more he gets comfortable, the more he'll just kind of rely on good mechanics as opposed to doing a lot of thinking where he's then rushing and things go sideways high. The protection stuff, honestly, Chris, that doesn't bother me. Like, if he gets sacked on an exotic blitz look, it stinks. It's not what you want. It's certainly not best possible outcome. But he just hasn't seen enough of that stuff yet.
Right.
And that's where the experience is coming in. And I thought what he said after the game yesterday was awesome, where he goes, there's so many times where I knew that Kuechly was just trying to get me to check out of something, and so I just stayed with it, and we got what we wanted. And that kind of growth is massive, and the more he sees, the more he'll be able to do that and get into optimal looks and get into optimal plays and make optimal decisions. So that stuff, I love
the
progression.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it's just not going to be 100% quite yet.
That shows some great mental processing as well, and you're right. He's going to keep learning and keep getting better, we hope and we think, in that regard. I don't know what else we could say about Darius Geis that hasn't already been said. I mean, the brutal stiff arm, the explosion, the average, being able to pound it in from the one-yard line a couple of times. I guess the only question I would have left at this point, and maybe you have a better sense of this, is why is he still getting less carries at this point than Adrian Peterson? Is it just they still easing him and ramping him up, or they don't want to overload him? What do you sense there?
I think there's kind of one version of this answer that might simply be when you get 60 yards on one carry, you need less carries.
Yeah.
If they're doing this kind of by series and Darius goes out and busts off another huge run, Adrian winds up with 13 and less yardage, and Darius has got 129 on 10.
Right.
I mean, there's just less field to cover. So they're splitting it pretty evenly. I think you can make an argument for a guy that's going like that. You just say, hey, Adrian, sorry, today's not your day, and you can spell him. But I do think managing him is smart. You know, I think it's important to continue to get him more experience and let him see more things and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, know that we're in a somewhat lost season. You know, we're in a record-wise, playoffs-wise, completely lost season. And to put miles on his legs and hits on his body, it seems unnecessary. So I think that some combination of all those factors is probably the answer. But I will say this. I don't know how much this is being said about Darius, and I think it's really important. He is one of the smartest football players in that locker room. And to talk to him about football and protections and route concepts and just his total kind of global view of the game is very impressive. And I hope that we do a good job in the media of asking him more questions along those fronts or along those lines so that stuff can shine. Because that kid is not just tough and physical and all that kind of stuff, but he's really, really smart, and it shows up in how he plays.
Yeah, and I think Callahan did a good job. I mean, maybe not as well as you just did, but Callahan shined the light on how smart they are as a backfield between Adrian Peterson, Geis, and Chris Thompson, who made his return to the lineup yesterday. One more for you, Hoffman. I don't believe we got any injury updates. Do we have any word? I know Morgan Moses was going for an MRI. That's why he wasn't on the junkies this morning. Montez Sweat had to leave early. Do we have any injury updates on Kerrigan, anything like that?
No, we unfortunately don't. Bill has figured out how to get his meeting with the medical staff magically right
yeah,
after.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't give anything. I understand that. It sucks. But I just was wondering if you knew anything.
Yeah, no, nothing at this time, unfortunately. Still waiting here.
All right, so we will find out more in the coming days about those guys. Hopefully the Redskins will have a semi-complete group heading up to Lambeau Field and Green Bay. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good, bud.
All right, yeah, Craig Hoffman is brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. He joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline from Redskins Park. Santana Moss is next, right after Earl Forsey. Stay tuned.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.